one of the smaller books of the New Testament. You'll find it after the book of James, 1 Peter chapter 5. I've decided that since we're beginning a process in our church of pastoral search, that I should take once a month the opportunity to talk about what the Scripture says about the pastor and his role and his responsibilities and his duties. And I hope that you'll be listening this morning and praying that we might follow God's word as we go through the process in the weeks, months, perhaps years to come in finding a senior pastor for our church. 1 Peter chapter 5. The title of my message this morning is, What Do We Call the Pastor? And if you look closely at this passage, you'll find there are clear names, designations for the pastor and what we're to call him. Should we call him Father? Should we call him Reverend? Should we call him Preacher? And sometimes down in the South, that's what they call him, Preacher Mike, you know. Well, Preacher Mike said this, or Preacher Mike said that. Should we call him Elder? Should we call him Bishop? Should we call him Apostle? And there are churches that call their pastor Apostle. I think we'll find here in this passage and in Acts chapter 20 a few names, three names, that the Scripture tells us about what a pastor is called. As far as I'm called, you can. As far as I'm concerned, you can call me Mike. I always say they called Paul Paul, right? They didn't put letters after his name, D.D., D.Min, D. Degenerate. No, no, D. they called him Paul. They called Paul Paul. So let's look at this passage. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor being lords over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when Christ the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Now let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is convening the elders from the city of Ephesus, and he is about to go to Jerusalem, and he is meeting together with them and letting them know that he's going and departing from them, and they are affectionate towards him. So in Acts chapter 20, actually we could begin by looking at verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. That tells you something about the pastor. He can have long sermons if he wishes. And Paul met with the disciples on the first day of the week, right? On Sunday. That is a day that we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus. And then it says in verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And then in verse 28, it says, therefore, Paul is saying to the elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. We'll be looking at these passages as we look at each one of the names given to us in the New Testament for the pastor or the elder or the bishop. Soon, and we don't know how soon, but soon we will be following an exciting process, calling a new pastor to our church. I ended our meeting last week in our deacons meeting with blurted out, isn't this exciting? It's exciting to think about the future. It's exciting to see what God will be doing among us tomorrow. It's exciting to think about new leadership in our church that will lead us to a new vision for the glory of God, for the ministry in this place. As we look back over the history of our church, we have experienced God's miraculous blessings in many ways upon the church. And although I don't have time to go over the history of our church in our message this morning, please ask me sometime, and I'll walk you through the good things, the wonderful things that God has done. Our church was started back in the mid-70s with the coming to the Capital District of two church planters, and each one of them came with support from other churches to come and start new churches in our community. And eventually those two churches merged into one, which was the Heritage Baptist Church of Cohoes. And in 1985, I came to be the pastor of that congregation. And over the period of years, God has enabled us to come to this place in Brunswick and rename our church the Brunswick Baptist Church and build on this property. And the whole story of how God supplied and God blessed over those years is an exciting one. And we can look back and see God's blessings. It's not because of any of us, but it's because God determined to put his hand upon our congregation, and we are thankful for God's blessings in the past. And as we look forward in faith, God's blessings will continue, and we expect to increase. And let me reassure you that God has a wonderful plan for our congregation, and his Spirit will lead us and provide leadership for tomorrow, just as he has in the past. So the church is in the process of putting together a pulpit committee. Now, we haven't had a pulpit committee since 1985. And so the pastoral staff and the deacons and I have sat down and we've discussed and sometimes debated, and we've come up with a method, a process, as we seek the Lord's direction in choosing another leader for our church to bring us into a bright future. So we're planning a business meeting on March the 1st, and in that meeting we're setting before the church the motions that are in your bulletin this morning, motions regarding appointing a pulpit committee, giving them the responsibility to review resumes and pertinent information, to schedule interviews with prospective pastors, to bring speakers here who might eventually candidate the church, and then to set before the church for their approval candidates for the church. Again, this is informative, and maybe the message today is a little more teachy than preachy, but we have agreed on a transitional plan, that I will remain the pastor for the first 6 months the new pastor is here, to help him to get to know the congregation. The primary reason is to transfer loyalty to him, to introduce him to the congregation, to get him, give him opportunities to preach and lead over those 6 months, to introduce him to our mission organizations in the community and community leaders and many of the things that I believe will be helpful to him as he begins his ministry in the church. And then after that six-month period, I will resign as pastor and retire, and will seek the Lord's clear leading for the future. So today we are calling on the church to pray for God's clear leading. And I believe God has already in his plan determined who our new pastor is going to be and what our future and ministry will be in the future. The book of Acts describes the appointment of church pastors as the work of the Holy Spirit. See what it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28? Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And we're expecting God to guide us in that decision. And we need to be praying. We need to be seeking the Lord's face. We need to be praying for the pulpit committee. We need to be praying for the opportunity to get in touch with those who are seeking a ministry and to interview them and to learn about them and to seek God's guidance in our decision as we choose that person to lead us. Part of the process of every member is to have a biblical definition of what a pastor elder is, what position he should hold. We need to know about that individual, his biblical qualifications as a pastor. And Paul gives us that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. We need to understand what his role is as the leader of the church so that when he comes, we can welcome him and lay before him the parameters of his responsibility as we see them laid out in the scripture. We need to review what authority is given to the one who holds that sacred office. And we need to know how to relate, he will relate practically and scripturally to other leaders who are working in the church. A candidate for the role of pastor needs to prepare for the ministry. And we will expect that he may have done study in Bible college or seminary. And he may have other relative studies that will help him to carry out his position. He may have experience in several areas of ministry on his resume. It will tell where he has served in the church in the past. He may have honed his skills as a speaker and a teacher. But not only does he need to prepare for his relationship with the church, but the church needs to prepare with their relationship with him. And I believe that everything we do as a church, and especially as we define the roles of the leaders in the church, must be based on the scriptures. So that's why I've decided to begin this series, to talk about what does the scripture say about the pastor. And today we're thinking about what his role is. Biblically, the pastor's duties can be divided in these three areas. So when we search the scriptures and we see what a pastor's responsibility and duties are, we see they fall in these categories. Now, they could be expanded to four, and I've read different authors that have listed it in different ways, but I think basically this covers all the bases. His functions are instructional. His responsibility is to equip the saints. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about all the gifts and how all the gifts used together are planned and given to us by the Holy Spirit to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And equipping is a large part of the pastor's responsibility, instructional. And then there's the pastoral part of his ministry, taking care of the flock. We're going to talk about the word pastor as it's translated in with several different words in the New Testament, and one of those is shepherd. And part of the responsibility of a pastor is to be a shepherd. It's to take care of the needs of the flock, or to see to it that the needs of the flock are taken care of. And of course, there may be more than one pastor. There may be deacons in the church. There may be brothers or sisters in the church who care for one another in their needs. How do we make sure that the church is strong and growing and healthy, and when they're suffering, they receive comfort and blessing? When they're deciding, they receive wise guidance. Part of the role of the pastor is pastoral. He's a shepherd. He loves the sheep. He cares for the sheep. And the third part that's designated to him in the scripture is administrative. And we've seen in these texts, both of these texts, that the pastor's responsibility is to oversee the saints, to govern. to be one who takes the lead in the church and is a leader, helps the church to be guided to make the right decisions. So what do we look for in our pastor as we're seeking to select someone who will have that role? Let us begin today by looking how those functions are described by his titles in the scripture. And so why don't we look at them? It says here in verse 28 in Acts, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God." The first name that we see in the scripture designates the office of a pastor is pastor. It comes from the Greek word poimen, and this is the role of shepherding and teaching. It means to tend. Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my sheep," or "feed my sheep," or "shepherd my sheep," or "pastor my sheep." That's the word. It means to feed the flock. And so the function of the pastor definitely takes in the responsibility of teaching. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 that the lists of one place where the lists of gifts are given. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some. And this is a compound title, pastor teacher. His responsibility is to teach the Word of God. So people are making their decisions based upon the Scripture. They're making their convictions based upon the Scripture. They're seeing holiness develop in their life based upon the Scripture to teach them who Jesus is and the message of salvation. His responsibility is to teach. And so when Paul gives the qualifications for the pastor, he uses this term. He must be apt or able to teach. So for the pastor, one of his primary responsibilities is regulating what the church is taught, determining and guiding and setting criteria about what is taught in our small groups, what is taught from the pulpit, who will speak and who will not speak, and what will be taught from the pulpit and what will not be taught from the pulpit. A pastor's theological position is vital to the church. And so Paul says, here, look in verse 29, he writes to the he speaks to the elders and he says, "Take heed, be very careful about this. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." This church is God's church. The Lord Jesus has paid for the lives of those who have put their faith in him. And he says, "For I know this," take heed, be careful, be watchful as pastors, as shepherds, "for know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." There's always that tension between God's kingdom and the kingdom of darkness in this world. And Satan seeks to put within the walls of the church and the community of the church those who will not spare the flock. They're like wolves. We need to be careful to protect the flock from the wolves of false teachers. And part of the responsibility of the pastors, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus here, is to guard the church. And the only way to guard the church is to know what the Scripture teaches. We must know, as we begin to examine folks who would candidate to be our pastor here, we must know their view about the authority of Scripture. Do they believe in God's inerrant word? Do they hold to the truth that God has spoken in his word and his Spirit has guided the writers of Scripture, the patriarchs and the prophets and the apostles in their writing has moved them along so that the product that has been produced is given to us by God. Can we trust that every dot and tittle, like Jesus said, is the truth of the Scripture? And as we consider a candidate for the pastor of the church, we must choose one whose view about the authority of the Scripture is consistent with our statement of faith. We must know what he believes about the nature of God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the incarnation of Christ, the ministry of the Spirit. We must know what he believes about salvation. And I was in a Bible study this week, and I was just sharing from a number of passages of Scripture, and one I was emphasizing was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that tell us that we are saved by grace, not something of ourselves, not our own merit, not something we achieve or strive and accomplish, but we are saved by the works of Jesus Christ alone. So when we stand before God, we cannot boast, because it's not of our own works. It's by his grace, and it comes to us through faith alone. We must understand his beliefs about the resurrection. There are those that don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised bodily from the grave. And Paul said, then if that were true, then our faith is in vain. We must understand what he believes about heaven and hell and a whole list of biblical doctrines as we examine his statement of faith. The pastor who loves the Lord and loves the flock must be a vigorous defender of the faith and the word of God. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, and when Paul wrote to Titus, he was encouraging them to stand firm in their beliefs. So the biblical work of a pastor is to lead the church and to teach the church and to guard the church against false teaching. Pastor, shepherd, his responsibility is to feed the flock. And that's what you think a shepherd does. He leads the flock from pasture land to pasture land. If he has grain, he sets it before the flock so that they can eat that. He makes sure that they are healthy and fed. He watches over them just like the shepherd, the scripture says in Psalm 23, that anoints with oil the sheep so that they won't be infected with insects. He's a shepherd. Secondly, the scripture uses another word, and more common even than pastor. You know, most of the time when the word shepherd is used, it's not talking about the pastor of the church. It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. And we're to walk in his steps as leaders in the church and be the good shepherd of his flock. Jesus passed that responsibility down to Peter, and Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 passes that responsibility down to us. Then the pastor is also called elder. And the Greek word for elder is presbyteros. That's where the Presbyterians get their names. This has to do with how the ministry flows out of the pastor's spiritual maturity. That's why the word elder is used. This word elder is sometimes used just to talk about old men. That would take me into consideration and many of you. But he's not talking about being an old man. He's talking about someone who is mature spiritually, one who has shown his wisdom through the work of the Spirit in his life, one who walks in holiness, one who loves others rather than concentrates on himself. The elder doesn't hold a different office from the pastor. It's the same office, but the term elder describes the pastor or shepherd's maturity. We want someone who is wise, who walks with the Lord, who has been proven. The instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22 is that elders who ordain other elders must not do it hastily. Because Paul tells Timothy, we are going to be responsible. When we appoint others to places in ministry, we're going to be responsible that they are mature, they're walking with God, that they are qualified as elders. We're going to give an account for whom we lay hands on. His maturity must be proven before he is given the task of leading. When applied to those who are called to the ministry, elder means a seasoned leader. That's who we should be looking for. The pastor elder must be a man whose compassion and giftedness can answer the call to lead, to pray effectively, to bring comfort to those that are in grief, to counsel those who are in trouble, to correct those who are in error, to cast a vision for the future of the ministry, to be an example to all, and to make wise choices for the church. Let's just take a moment and turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter is giving instruction as far as the appointment of elders and their qualifications. Again, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder. So that's what Peter is saying. Jesus was a shepherd, I'm a shepherd, you're a shepherd. I'm a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain. And you know what? There are people that are just in the ministry for money. We need to avoid that. But serve God willingly. Not nor being lords over those who are entrusted to you, but here he says, being examples to the flock. Jesus is our example. And we are to model in the leaders in the church the example that we see in Jesus, the example that we see in the apostles. Those who are appointed to this office are those who are mature, spiritually mature. They've been tried. Depending on the size of the congregation, the church could have one or more elder. That's not clearly defined in the scripture. There are places where he, like Acts chapter 20, where he calls the elders from Ephesus together. And there are places where in Acts chapter 15, where the elders were called together for a council regarding the ministry to the Gentiles. Now, we read in Acts chapter 2 that there were 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost, and more and multitudes were added to them. So they certainly didn't meet in the Jerusalem stadium, right? There weren't 10,000 people all meeting together. Those thousands were broken down in groups and congregations. And it may be that those congregations were led by one elder or more than one. It just isn't clear in the scripture. As we said before, he might not be an aged man. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young man. Now, young didn't mean he was 14. I don't know how old Timothy was. Probably more like 30. And he said, don't let anyone despise your youth. So it's a person not necessarily who has had 60 birthdays, but a person who has wisdom and spirituality and leadership qualities that will help him to lead the congregation. Those qualities are the ones we should look for in the one who would pastor our church. And then the third title that we have in the scripture, and particularly in these two scriptures, is the word episkopos. And that's where the Episcopals got their name. We need to have a good name like that, right? The word episkopos simply means overseer. This title has to do with the administration of the church. the terms we looked at are interchangeable. Pastor, elder, bishop, which is from episkopos, are all speaking about the same person. The word pastor has to do with what he does. The word elder has to do with his character, the character of the person. And the word bishop has to do with his position and his responsibility. He is to feed the church. He's to be an example to the church of his spiritual maturity. And he's to oversee or administer the church. The pastor elder is called to administrate. That's also one of the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29. And it's necessary for the office of a pastor. In Romans, Paul mentions leading as one of the spiritual gifts. That's a gift that the bishop should have. Now, after the service, please don't call me bishop. It's taken on connotations that are not really New Testament. It isn't someone who's over a whole gamut of churches in a diocese. That's not what a bishop is. A bishop is simply a pastor who leads the church, and he's told to do that with diligence. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and he says, good pastors rule well. The word for ruling literally means to be over, to manage, to be the person or one of the people in charge. And that's what a shepherd does, doesn't he? The good shepherd says, we need to move. We've eaten all the grass in this field. We're moving over here. The good shepherd says, I noticed that one of our sheep had bugs that were crawling in and out of his nose. Have you ever read that book about Psalm 23, a shepherd's look at Psalm 23? And it goes through all those elements in Psalm 23, how sheep only drink from still water and not flowing water, and how sheep often are plagued by insects that will eventually cause their death. And the shepherd anoints the sheep so that those insects are scattered away. And one of the responsibilities of a shepherd is to look over the flock, to oversee the flock, to see the problems that need to be corrected, to see the good things that need to be commended, to guide the flock, to take steps of faith that will lead the church on to more ministry. Paul says the bishop, pastor, elder is to govern the church like a father. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says that a man who is going to take the office of the pastor needs to be one who rules his family well. For if he can't take care of his family, how shall he take care of the flock of God? So the church then is called by the Lord to submit to his leadership. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17, and verse 24 challenge the church so that the leader's ministry can be effective and not burdensome, to submit themselves to his leadership. So he's the overseer. So just like the shepherd, he's responsible for the health and the feeding and the guarding and the protection and the harvest of wool and mutton. Well, let's see, we're not going to eat the flock here, but I'm sure the shepherds, that's what they do, right? You all know the story about the sheep that was wandering astray and how the sheep got caught in a very dangerous place, or he was in a place where the predators might get him, and the shepherd brought him back and into the fold. And then he had this wanderlust, and he wandered away again, and he wandered away again. And the third time, the shepherd broke the leg of the sheep and put him over his shoulders so he would learn. Don't walk in that way. There's danger in that way. And that's what the responsibility of the shepherd was of old. And sometimes the church needs correction and instruction. And that's the job of the overseer. the bishop. This is the position we're looking to fill. These are big shoes. Our plan is to give a diligent effort to secure a new pastor, elder, bishop, to exhort you to pray for one another, because you have a key place in this process. And you have a place in the future of this church. So my exhortation this morning is, do your part. Support the church through this transition of leadership. God might use you to help the new pastor in a ministry that he envisions to develop here. Be ready to join his team and help in every way you can to move this ministry forward. Be loyal. These are exciting and challenging times for our church, and they require commitment. Commit yourself to this church. Say, this is my church, and I will serve here, and I will be part of the team. Please determine to be faithful in your calling to serve the Lord in this church. The question at this point, the question that we don't know, is who will be the senior pastor in the future, and when that will take place. Over the next year, or even two, we will do diligence to find the who, and we will leave in God's hands the when. So my challenge to you today is to say, God has led me to Brunswick Baptist Church. I will pray. I will serve now and in the future. I will commit myself to this ministry and work together, whoever the leadership is in the future, for the glory of God and for the benefit of those who are outside and lost, and for the good health and the development of those who are inside and need to be nurtured and need to grow. Our Father, we come to you today, and we believe that we can trust you with a future. We believe that as we submit ourselves to you, that we will be led by the Spirit. For you have said in your word, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Lead us together. Lead us in harmony for the future of this church, for the glory of Jesus in this place, in this town, in this region. Provide for us the leadership that you determine, set among us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the bishop, the pastor, the elder, that you would have to take the place of senior pastor in the days to come. And we trust you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.